back to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Warriors, Lakers, and news from around the association. My name is Casey, alongside my friend, co-host, Roman Bestie. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. So let's just get into it. We're going to talk a little bit of Lakers and Warriors today. I know we normally cover the Lakers on the show, but we're going to give our hand at talking about Los Angeles today, as we are the Bay LA Podcast. So we're going to start with the Lakers. Quick Lakers temperature check. They are currently 13-11, sitting at eighth place in a tough Western Conference. Just looking at the last few games from them, a brutal overtime loss in Atlanta. And then before that, they lost two against Minnesota and Miami, but then they bounced back at a win against the Trailblazers on Sunday. It's kind of been tough sledding for the most part, I feel like, for the Lakers.
Yeah, with LeBron active and playing in games, they've been struggling to win games. And I mean, yeah, they beat the Trailblazers, but they're bad. They're a bad team.
Yeah, that's a rebuild team for sure.
And now, without LeBron out for personal reasons, they have a stretch of games here. Yeah, against the Wolves and then the Grizzlies and then then two games against the Kings. So, yeah, a stretch of some Western Conference games that would help them kind of move into the standings and maybe get the ball rolling. But, yeah, what's going on with LeBron? Personal reasons.
So, yeah, some news just broke out today about LeBron James, that he was excused from Lakers practice due to personal reasons. His status for Friday against the Timberwolves is TBD, to be determined. Not great. I believe he missed the last game against the Blazers with a foot injury. So I'm not sure if maybe that's something to do with it as well, or I don't know. Maybe there's something, beneath the surface that we don't know about. But obviously, the Lakers are a completely different team without LeBron James, which kind of leads me to my next question, is who needs to step up if LeBron James misses an extended period of time?
The simple answer is literally everybody on the roster needs to step up. D'Lo needs to start playing more efficiently. Max Christie more efficiently. Gabe Vincent needs to not just run around the court. I know he's had some double-digit scoring games recently, but I haven't watched all these Laker games all the way through, but when I am checking in, I'm not seeing a lot of impact from guys that aren't like Austin Reeves, Dalton Connect. Right. Like Rui Hachimura, I feel like, is the most consistently engaged guy on the court sometimes. I mean, aside from LeBron and AD, but they got to get more help from everyone else. They need to start seeing anything else. Because, I mean, yeah, even Cam Reddish is laying goose eggs with 20 plus minutes on the court. Like you can't win games that way.
No,
part of your rotation, as small as their rotation is with this team. Looking at the active players through a game, it's wild coming from, a fan of the Warriors and seeing all of their players that they get into the mix and Kerr's 12, 13 man rotations he throws out there. Like it's surprising and shocking to see other teams not doing that sometimes, because it's just what I'm used to seeing so much with the Warriors.
Totally. Yeah, and I totally agree with your answer that everybody needs to step up, especially like you were saying earlier, like this stretch of Western Conference games that's coming up for the Lakers, it's going to directly affect the Western Conference standings. So like the next game, for example, against the Timberwolves, well, the Timberwolves are right behind them in ninth place at 12-11. So, a game changes things. Then you got the Suns, the Spurs, and the Kings that are all right behind them with 12 wins each. It could get dicey if they fail to collect some wins coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves are playing really well recently. I mean, we saw them play a couple games against the Warriors, and those were tough games.
Just, they were.
Yeah, I mean, ever since Anthony Edwards kind of called out the locker room, saying everyone was doing all this like bickering and everyone has agendas and not playing together. And I mean, that's kind of what a leader needs to do in a locker room to kind of bring the guys together. It's like, hey, cut out your bullshit and,
yeah,
you know, help the team. We are trying to win games, especially for the expectations that were set upon them. And then after the trade they made with New York, there's a lot to expect from that Wolves roster. So they're going to be playing really well. They have been playing really well. So
yeah,
that's going to be a difficult game for the Lakers.
And it's starting to feel like the Wolves, they're starting to figure it out now. Like, they're playing really good defense. Mm. And the offense, like, you know, when you got Anthony Edwards leading the charge, like, I believe it was the Friday. Was it a Friday game against the Warriors? The first game of that two-game little mini-series they just had. He had, like, 30. And he can put up 30, like, in his sleep. He's just that good of a talent. So the Lakers are going to have their hands full to try to contain Edwards and surviving the Timberwolves defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves have held what their past four or five opponents to under 100 points. And I mean, I'm noticing how. I mean, Rudy Gobert is of course going to be a defensive presence. Julius Randle is playing very engaged, and yep. Anthony Edwards of course is a talent, and Naz Reid, I mean, his length and athleticism is just, yeah, he just causes problems in passing lanes at times. So, yeah, it's going to be a hard game. I don't project the Lakers to win, but I could be surprised. This roster might kind of pull itself together, and seeing that LeBron is not going to be around for at least maybe that game as well, because they managed to beat the Blazers, but can they manifest enough as a team to,
yeah,
you know, beat out the Wolves. So
I think a big Anthony Davis game would be in order. He's been great all season long for the Lakers. I think he's playing at an MVP level. So I think they're going to lean more on him, but yeah, I think I'd like to see maybe like Austin Reeves step up. Not that he hasn't stepped up all season. He's one of their more consistent players, but with the absence of, or a potential absence of LeBron James, like, it's time for your guys to, you know, to step up. Like, so yeah, that should be a good one. It should be a tough game. I predict it's going to be a low scoring game, but I think it'll be a good one. It's two fun teams to watch. And then after that Timberwolves game, the Lakers will take on the Grizzlies at home, which is, that's always a fun matchup, just given the history or the recent history between those two teams.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies have been good. Right now they're sitting at second place in the West. So
yeah,
they're good.
Really pulled themselves together.
Kind of caught me by surprise. And then, yeah, two games in Sacramento. One game at 3 p.m., which is interesting.
Yeah, a little Saturday, early afternoon.
Sacramento's an interesting team. I'm like, yeah, I'm a little underwhelmed with the Kings so far this season. I had pretty high expectations coming into the season, especially with the acquisition mm-hmm. of DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
But I'm just not, I don't know. I'm just not seeing it right now.
Yeah, I haven't tuned into the Kings too much this year, but yeah, I mean, just seeing that they're under 500 right now is yeah, of course, a little bit surprising given what expectations were from last year. But yeah, I feel like they're definitely a team and a roster that can kind of start figuring things out just because of the talent that they still have on the team. It's not too far changed from where it's been. I mean, the absence of Harrison Barnes is of course noted, for what he offers the team overall in terms of scoring, rebounding, defense. Like, he's just a good all-around guy.
That's a slept on fact right there.
Yeah, like that was just a big, strong power forward that they could kind of lean on. But yeah, like they added DeMar DeRozan. They still have Sabonis, who I'm sure operating a really good, you know, two-man game, just getting DeMar open in that mid-range. And De'Aaron Fox is an elite point guard. It's, yeah.
Malik Monk is, he's, you know, he's kind of like the microwave coming off the bench. Heats up real quick. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think all these games coming up for the Lakers, they all have potential to be good games. And then on the 23rd, they'll play the Pistons. And then Christmas Day, they'll play the Warriors.
Ooh, man.
So the box office for sure.
Yep.
Some more Laker news is Bronny James set to make his G League road debut on Thursday against the Valley Suns. I think it's great that they're letting, you know, Bronny's finally playing road games. Finally,
yeah,
getting a full G League experience. And I think that is great for his development as a basketball player.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is exactly what he needs early in his career, is to just get reps, get comfortable, develop. And yeah, just be around other guys in his situation. I mean, take away the name, take away the whole spotlight. And yeah, just going on the road in G League. I mean, he's going to draw bigger crowds, but like, getting him on the floor and playing and just growing as a player in the league and trying to make it into the big leagues. Like that's just important for him. So I'm very happy that they've made this allowance to him.
I feel like it should have been, you know, he should have been on the road from the jump, but you know,
yeah,
that I think we'll look back at this situation and laugh. But
yeah,
I really hope the best for Bronny, and that, you know, he's just one of the guys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just another ball player trying to make it. So yeah. I'm if LeBron isn't going to be playing the next few games for the Lakers, maybe he'll take some time off and for personal reasons to go watch Bronny play.
You imagine.
Oh, yeah, seeing him on the broadcast for some of these G League games, just hanging out, probably standing up and coaching alongside whoever the coach is for the South Bay Lakers.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah, no, that's good for Bronny.
It is. Switching gears just a little bit. I'm sure we've all seen these. The rumor mill has been spinning with the trades. But just keeping things with the Lakers for a little bit, who should the Lakers target at the, you know, at this trade deadline coming up? Like, if we had to, is there a guy that's been named available that the Lakers should go after and could go after that will help this team get themselves into a more comfortable position in the Western Conference?
Oh man, who can the Lakers trade for?
Yeah, I think that's the tough question, is like, who could they trade for with the assets that they have?
If they could manage, I think the Nets put out their request for a Dennis Schroeder, but I think he would be a nice addition for them.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Schroeder could bring a lot to that team,
and he's been there before, so he's familiar with, like, you know, the area.
Yeah, no, yeah, he's
being a Laker.
Really, yeah, just being a part of the scene. Yeah, I honestly forgot he was already on the Lakers before. But yeah, I think just off the names I've heard in talks recently, I think he would be a good asset, just bringing in another point guard for them, because the D'Lo experience has not been ideal. And especially if LeBron isn't going to be playing in some games, if he's taking time off or whatever happens in the rest of the season, who knows, he might get traded. We can get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but yeah, I think he would be a good fit for the roster right now.
I agree. I think Dennis Schroeder is one of those guys that like fits well in a lot of teams. He plays very, like, I don't know, fiery is the right word. Like,
Yeah, there's an intensity there.
Yes, and I love it. He always gives the Warriors a hard time whenever they face off against him. Yeah. So, yeah, I think Dennis Schroeder would be a great target for the Lakers. I've seen, yeah, Robert Williams been named in some rumors. I think he would be a good depth piece to help out Anthony Davis, but
yeah.
I think there's concerns with his availability. He's been coming off injuries. He's a great player when he's healthy, but durability is the best availability right now, especially in a team with already like a pencil thin rotation like the Lakers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I'm sure like with all trade rumors, like the closer we get to the deadline, more names will become available, and the picture paints itself a little.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll figure out who's actually going to be available and who teams are like, absolutely not. We're not even going to humor you.
Yeah. With that. But yeah, here's where things get interesting. So we're going to switch gears. We're going to go back up to Northern California, back talk about the Bay's team, the Warriors. And we're going to start off with some hot news that has been, you know, I'm sure we've all seen it by now. But the Warriors reportedly interested in trading for Jimmy Butler and LeBron James.
And
LeBron James.
Take and them both. Yeah, no, there's no way that we're taking on both contracts. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough money to move, and if we did somehow move all the money, we'd have like four players left on the roster.
Right, like that's so crazy. But the report is out there that they're interested in both those guys. Both are, you know, I mean, come on, like LeBron James, that's insane.
Yeah,
I think the insane part to me is that they're just flat out saying like, oh yeah, we're interested. I mean, of course.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't be interested in trading for LeBron James? But like making it so like just out there and like presented of like, yeah, like we would of course try to make something work there.
The door is open.
Like, okay, like, well, if, you know, if people start to get talking between the two organizations and there's some groundwork being laid right now, like, I don't know.
Moody's been sitting. LeBron James is out now for personal reasons.
Personal reasons. Considering if he would accept a trade to the Warriors, what would that do to his legacy?
Oh man. Personally, as a Warrior fan, I don't care.
Yeah, his legacy is now the Warriors.
See? Yeah, exactly. They're intertwined.
Yeah.
But of course, any trade involving LeBron, like he would have to, you know, he'd have to agree upon, because I believe he has a no trade clause in his contract. And I'm sure LeBron James comes with a Bronny James, which is fine. He could get reps in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's some very interesting news. Of course, I would not say no to a LeBron James. I don't think I'd say no to Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
It all depends on the price. Jimmy Butler did list the Warriors on his trade list of teams that, you know, he would like to go to. Mm-hmm. That list includes the Warriors, the Mavericks, the Rockets, and the Suns. The Jimmy Butler trade, that seems a little more, I don't know, feasible, just because there is that mutual interest, and it seems like Miami and Jimmy Butler are not seeing eye to eye. It seems like, I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting paid a lot of money, but I mean, there's been comments even from Pat Riley about Butler's expressed thoughts, we can say. And yeah, it definitely feels like there's been a little bit of a tension that's been built up and sustained between both parties. So yeah, I don't think it would be super surprising to see a trade with Jimmy Butler anywhere done. I would be super surprised if the Suns pulled something off, given they're probably extremely exhausted assets. I don't know how they would make anything work with the amount of draft picks they've shuffled around everywhere.
Right. And I'm sure just salary wise too, like,
yeah, that's a whole other beast. Is how do you manage to take that on?
Right.
Oh yeah, I don't know if the Mavericks make a move either. I mean, they signed Clay in the offseason, and I think that was like their planned and built for big piece to kind of keep them in contention, keep them competitive in this Western Conference.
Yep. And the Mavericks are sitting pretty good at fourth place right now. It's 16-9. They're two games above the Warriors and the Clippers. So like, do you want to mess with that potentially? And like you were just saying earlier, Jimmy Butler and his express thoughts, like, I don't want to say that Jimmy Butler comes with baggage, because I don't think he has baggage, but he runs a little hot.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid to express his feelings. And that could rub some GMs, owners, teammates the wrong way. Like, of course, you know, we know about the situation in Minnesota where he kind of just pulled, I don't know, it's like a Michael Jordan story where it's like,
yeah.
he grabbed like the, you know, the twos, and then he played the ones, and he whooped them and like was mouthing off, like, it's crazy.
And yeah, then, that was a phenomenal moment to be on Twitter, hearing all the reports of how he was mouthing off, just screaming at everyone, "You fucking need me."
But that was a team, like, you know, that Minnesota team at that time, they just weren't ready to win. And Jimmy Butler is a ready to win player, and we've seen what he can do on the floor. Like, he can will teams and through playoff series.
Yeah. I mean, by all accounts, I know it doesn't say it at the in the history books now just because of what happened right after, but Jimmy Butler in Game 7 against the Rockets when he was playing for Philadelphia, he got the layup to take the lead.
Yeah.
And then comes down the floor, Kawhi Leonard, his famous bouncing shot to win the series.
Oh, right.
Jimmy Butler, the possession before, made a very contested lay-in to take the lead with seconds remaining. All they had to do, one more stop, one more possession, they win the series, they move on. And yeah,
the like, bounce.
The bounce is insane. But like, Jimmy Butler is a qualified player in crunch time, in clutch moments, to help win a game. That is incredibly important come playoffs, because there's always going to be that like pivotal moment in a game that's very close during a series that's like a must-win game, and Jimmy Butler's a guy I'm always going to trust in that moment.
Jimmy Butler is that dude, like, for real.
If I wasn't a Warriors fan, if I wasn't a fan of any of the teams listed on that list, I would want the Rockets to get him. That would be the greatest, funniest wrench thrown into all of the rankings.
Could you imagine the Dylan Brooks and Jimmy Butler? Like, that's hell.
I don't know if I'd want to play against that ever. But man, would that not be a fun team to watch if the Rockets ended up getting him? That would be amazing. I think it's
possible too, because the Rockets definitely have assets they could move. I'm sure they're a team that's not working against the cap right now. I don't think they have too many huge contracts.
I think their biggest is just the Fred VanVleet contract.
Yeah. VanVleet, and maybe Green has signed an extension, but if those are the only two big contracts you have, like, that is not bad. Jimmy Butler's current contract, he has 1 year left, and it's a hefty one. I think it's making like $48 million, something like that, or something in that range. And then he's got a player option at the end of the season, so he could opt in and get paid like $52 million. So that's another kind of can of worms that you have to consider if you were a team looking to acquire Mr. Butler, is that he could opt into his contract, and then he's on the books for 52 mil. And he is at age 35. But I mean, he's still, I think he's still got it. Like, I feel like he hasn't lost a step, but like, I feel like he is a player that is ready to win now. And his timeline and the Warriors timeline kind of sync up perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, him on the Rockets though would be a fun watch, especially with that young team. Like, that's a team that I think they could make some noise in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, I think they will 100%. The Warriors play the Rockets tonight. I'm a little worried about that game. It's going to be an intense close game. I mean, the Warriors have beaten the Rockets since COVID. Times. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy number. But like, there have been incredibly close games. So
it's getting closer and closer too.
Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, getting a trade done to get Jimmy to the Warriors, that's going to take a lot to.
Yes.
A lot to move him, and I think it's kind of a whatever it takes to get that type of trade done is something I'd be happy to see. For sure. Like, send the picks, send the players, like just do it, because I mean,
he's a difference maker, I think.
Absolutely. Like, I'd rather see Steph and Draymond get a fifth ring. I'd rather see the organization win another championship than watch this roster slowly fall apart and have partially developed young talent take over after they leave, and we're kind of left as like a middling excuse of a franchise. I'd rather see us win another championship than completely fall apart, be the bottom of the barrel team again, and rebuild.
I'm cool with that as well. I think that is personally what I would like to see as a fan. I don't want to see the Warriors kind of fall into like NBA purgatory.
Oh yeah.
Which I feel like they've kind of been treading water the last few years, like being in the play-in and like losing in the play-in tournament. That to me feels like purgatory, because it's like, you're there, but you're not there. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Like, either go all in or go all out on like developing. But spitballing some like trade, like, how would you make a trade happen to acquire like a Jimmy Butler or LeBron James if LeBron wants to come to the Bay? But they could move D'Anthony Melton's contract. I think he was getting like a mid-level exception, and then that's after that it gets interesting, because they have a lot of guys that aren't making a ton of money in the NBA sphere. Like, obviously, $1 million is a lot of money, but like,
yeah,
in the NBA world, like that's kind of a bargain. They don't have a ton of, like, Wiggins is obviously a name that I've seen thrown around a lot. He's making a pretty big contract. You know, to me, I feel like Draymond and Steph are untouchable. And Steph, obviously, but I feel like Draymond's untouchable too.
I'd like for him to be untouchable, but yeah, I don't know. If it would make a LeBron to the Bay trade work, then yeah, it's by Draymond.
Oh, that'd be so sad though. Like,
oh no, I'd be heartbroken. But like, now we have LeBron James. Sure, yeah, whatever.
Be sad for like a little bit, but it'd be like his buddy comes to town and he can't even play. Like,
yeah. Oof. Yeah,
but yeah, there's also been some small trades, but there's been, you know, some other rumored, like Dennis Schroeder, who we're talking about earlier in the show. I feel like he would be a great piece for the Warriors, and in past episodes we've talked about how the Warriors desperately need like a secondary or a primary like ball handler aside from like Steph or Draymond. And I think Schroeder would fit that role perfectly. He'd kind of fill that void that D'Anthony Melton left.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be a hot commodity come the trade deadline, because he can do so many things so well. And he's not making, you know, like a ton. He doesn't have a crazy huge contract, but I feel like the Nets might have a very high asking price for him.
Yeah. And for a Schroeder, I mean, if it was just mostly picks, and then, I mean, what is his contract right now?
Let's see.
Let's see. Okay.
So it looks like he's making $13 million this year, and then becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So that's a pretty good target for any team, really.
I mean, that's about the range of Melton, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Melton was making around like 12, something like that. Right.
I don't know, man. Throw a couple picks in there.
But then, you know, there's the same, you know, at the same time, it's like, if you're throwing in picks for Schroeder, might as well just make the trade for Jimmy. I mean, I think it all depends on what the asking price is to make something happen for, you know, for whoever it is.
Yeah, I feel like the Nets are at a point with their roster where they're going to want to start an actual rebuild.
Yeah, they'll be sellers.
Yeah, they thought that they could kind of put this roster together and do something with it, but I think that they've kind of realized where they're at right now as, I mean, where are they in the standings? They're currently 8, 10, they're and 14. Eight. Yeah. But
that's crazy.
But like, yeah, that's middling. I mean, they're in the play-in right now. They don't want to be in the play-in, and I'm sure that all their investment and time into Ben Simmons has proven to be nothing and a waste.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that, Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, it's every so often, it's just like, oh, he's finally coming back to play. He plays for 2 weeks. He has like one good game, and then he's out with back injury for like 4 months. And it's like, okay, right, his season's over, whatever. But
it's crazy because like there's a lot of good guys on that Nets team. Like Nicholas Claxton, I think, is a great player.
Absolutely.
Cam Thomas is a bucket. Cam Johnson is a bucket.
True.
Dorian Finney-Smith, he's also a name I've seen in the rumor mill that we've been spinning so far. There's a possibility that both Finney-Smith and Schroeder could be packaged together in a deal. But we'll see. I mean, it's definitely interesting. And we kind of talked about this a little in the last episode, but I feel like this Warriors roster just needs a little bit of retooling because, mm-hmm. like, obviously, like, yeah, that Melton void is being felt. And we're just, I don't know, like, right now, this team, like, they won their last game against the Timberwolves, which was a great win. Don't get me wrong. Like, we can talk about the Draymond night. Was probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's my highlight of the season thus far.
Right. Like, whatever happens this season, that Draymond night will be talked about forever.
Dribbling through his legs.
That was insane.
I was like, I've never seen Draymond do that.
No.
Like, what is he doing? Playing ISO against Gobert.
I saw a funny tweet that was like this isn't like athleticism or like basketball IQ. It's just pure hatred and pettiness.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, that
100%.
Is. 100%. That was awesome. And then Steph had a pretty big 3-2 that game. But that was a battle of a game. And like the Timberwolves are going to be a team that the Warriors are going to have to, you know, if they make the playoffs, like that's a team that's going to be there. And so are the Rockets. And that we're going to see tonight. So yeah, I think they do need to make a move for somebody. Who that somebody is, I don't know. Like, it's a pretty vast range of names. You know, we got Jimmy Butler, LeBron, Dennis Schroeder, Cam Johnson. Like, those are all very different players.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they will all take a very different, a lot of different, I don't know, like, it's going to be different to acquire any of those guys. Like,
yeah, 100%. Especially with a bigger name like Jimmy or LeBron. I mean, you're going to be seeing some amount of difference than in.
Like, that's going to be a huge haul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, we're going to be seeing a different offensive game. going to be played from the team. I mean, that's just like you're having to create new space for the star player. And we've seen the Warriors manage that with Kevin Durant.
Right.
But
to do it in the middle of a season, that might be a little, I don't know. I mean, I got faith in like Steve Kerr and the coaching staff, like they could figure it out, but like, yeah, to make such a drastic change in the middle of a season, that, you know, it could be tricky. Some teams, like sometimes it affects teams in a negative way. Sometimes it, you know, that's what the team needed. So
yeah,
we'll wait and find out. Let's jump into tonight's game real quick. So we got the NBA Cup quarterfinals tonight. Warriors taking on the Rockets. Warriors currently at 14-9. Rockets at 16-8. Yeah, that game's going to be at 6:30. So about an hour from now. And these games do count towards regular season record. So it is an important game.
Yep.
But yeah, man. We talked about it a little bit earlier with you know, the Warriors and the streak.
Mm-hmm.
against the Rockets, but I think this game is going to have a lot more implications, obviously, because it's the NBA Cup, so it's single game elimination.
Yeah.
And I think this team just, they want to beat the brakes off the Warriors. I think this franchise has just, that has been their boogeyman.
Yeah, 100%. And they're playing in Houston, so
yep,
crowd is going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough game. Any notable injuries for the Warriors tonight?
So I'm pretty sure that, yeah, Wiggins is still questionable. Moody is out. And yeah, D'Anthony Melton, ACL. But that's all that the Warriors have listed. Rockets have four players on their injury report. Sengun, Sengun, Adams, Jashaun Tate, and Cam Whitmore. Sengun's dealing with the knee soreness. Adams with the right knee injury. Jashaun Tate, lower back. Whitmore, the left wrist contusion.
Okay.
Everyone else is available, but all those guys are just questionable. So
yeah, so they could play.
We could absolutely see those guys.
I would bank on Sengun playing just because he's really good.
Yeah.
He's a difference maker.
Yeah, and for the conceptualized importance of this game, they're gonna want to put every hand available, regardless of whatever bump or bruise you're kind of dealing with. They're gonna want to get him out there.
I haven't been following the Rockets super closely this season. Like, I've watched them face off against the Warriors, of course, but like, mm-hmm. I know that Adams he was out that game. That was earlier this season. I don't know if he has returned since then or if he's still working through that injury and he's now just getting healthy. But if he is available, that is a big plus for the Rockets because Adams is just, he's a big body. He's a smart player and he's just a good veteran presence for them. I think that in general, just Steven Adams being on this Rockets team is just a great move for them because he's just that, you know, steady Eddie guy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's been part of their rotation. Not a lot of minutes, at least the past few games. He's hovering around like 12, 14 minutes, I think.
Okay.
I'd be a little surprised if they held him out too, just given the Warriors' lack of size, getting any advantage with that for the Rockets.
And Adam has experience going against the Warriors. Not this Warriors team, but, you know, with Steph and Draymond and like
system. He's just a really smart player, really capable. So yeah, I would be expecting to see him out there tonight. I'm excited, of course, to watch Amen Thompson play. He's an interesting young talent.
Oakland, California.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Representing the Bay. Yeah, Tari Eason, he's always a fun, exciting young guy as well.
Yeah, him and Thompson kind of willed the Rockets the last game, like almost stole the game from the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, it was another close one. So we'll see how it all shakes out tonight in an elimination game. It's going to be tough. It's going to be brutal.
What's Steve Kerr's starting lineup tonight? What do you think?
Oh God.
You think he just has like a dart and he just throws darts and whoever it lands on, it's like it's starting.
Picture this. He has a pool table and on all the balls he has players' faces and he breaks it and whoever lands in the pockets first, that's a starting lineup.
You got Steph as the cue ball, so Steph's always
Steph is always there unless he's injured, but if Wiggins is healthy he's gonna be starting, but yeah, I'd assume it's Steph, Buddy, Wiggins, Draymond, and Looney.
Yeah, because... I like seeing Buddy in the starting lineup. We talked about this last show that you wanted to see Buddy Hield in the starting lineup. And what did we see in the starting lineup on Sunday was a Buddy Hield.
It's all I needed. I just needed some reassurance that someone else believed in Buddy Hield in the starting situation as well.
And they got
I didn't want to be crazy. Yeah, I know. Not so, to say that that lone move or change was the solution to victory, but like, yeah, that was reassuring. That was reassuring
because running back that lineup.
Yeah, I think, especially for how Dylan Brooks plays defense on Steph, I think that they're gonna absolutely need Buddy to just kind of scurry around and be that open 3-point guy because. I mean, it's almost like two hands just grabbing his jersey all the time, never letting go.
Yeah.
And it's like, is that defense?
It's insanity is what it is.
It's frustrating. I'm like, Steph, just throw elbows at this point.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a crazy game, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if Dylan Brooks is bringing in his full-on menace attitude into this game. It could get chippy.
They're playing in Houston. He's gonna stir the pot. He's gonna get the crowd into it. He has to.
Oh boy, yeah, it's gonna be a good one. Get your popcorn out, everybody.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna have a drink as well to make sure because I'm gonna be stressed the whole time. But yeah, it'll be exciting. This is just another great matchup.
It should be a fun one. And then let's see. Let's just look at the schedule a little bit moving forward before we wrap things up here. But. After the Rockets, the Warriors will take on the Grizzlies in Memphis. Then they'll take on the Timberwolves again in Minnesota. And then they come back home on the 23rd to play the Pacers. And then we got the Lakers coming to town on Christmas Day. So, yeah, I mean, pretty tough stretch of games with the, you know, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Timberwolves. The Pacers are, I think that's a winnable game. They're a weird team this season. It feels like they kind of got their own issues there. And then the Lakers, I mean, that's totally on. It's totally dependent on if LeBron James is playing or not.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one, especially for the Bay LA podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. That's going to be a good time. Well.
Yeah, yes.
Can we get a healthy Moody sometime soon?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we get a healthy Moody sooner rather than later. With all these like trade rumors going on and seeing Moody shut down. I mean, I'm assuming he's actually hurt. It's actually, you know, and they don't want to risk the injury getting worse, but it's like I don't know. It's interesting.
It's usually a sign of something. So.
Right. But, you know, this all could just be some like tinfoil hat stuff right here.
Well, I mean, we've had some tinfoil hat moments that have, you know, come true at this point.
That's true.
We are anything partially possible. A propaganda show.
And with all that being said, I got to just run this.
Moody Minutes.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in.
that in there before we left.
Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you guys' support. And if you haven't already, please give us a follow, subscribe, like, comment, wherever you're from. You guys enjoy the game tonight. And for Laker fans listening, stay faithful. I'm with you guys, you know, in the faith.
You've got to support the teams.
Thanks for tuning to the Bay LA podcast, and have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night. See you soon.
I'll play the music for you guys.
Outro music.
Outro. All right. Take care.